When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to the Unseen Podcast, a podcast dedicated to missing people, unresolved cases, and UK true crime. I hope you all had a fantastic Christmas and New Year, and that 2022 has started well for everyone. Today, we're going to be exploring the case of the unsolved murder of Margaret Muller in London in 2003. Margaret, an art student, had just been out for a jog when she was brutally murdered and left for dead. Her case still hasn't been solved. This case was suggested by Annie, so thank you so much for the suggestion. This episode contains descriptions of violence that some listeners may find distressing, so listener discretion is advised. Victoria Park is located in Hackney, in the borough of Tower Hamlets in East London. It's one of the largest parks in the borough, and one of the most visited. It's about 213 acres and attracts millions of visitors every year, given that it's a green space in the middle of a bustling and large city. On the morning of Monday, February the 3rd, 2003, 27-year-old Margaret Muller was one of these visitors to Victoria Park. She'd set out that morning to go for a jog. Margaret was originally from Virginia in the US and had moved to London 5 years prior in 1998 to study at the Slade School of Fine Art, which is part of University College London. Margaret was already an artist, having exhibited her work at universities in the US, before setting up her own art studio in a converted factory in Hackney, where she also lived after her move. She was working on her art and enjoying her life in the capital. On February the 3rd, Margaret had left her home to set off on a morning run and had chosen Victoria Park as the place that she would go to. It was relatively early in the morning, before 8:30, and while it was early, there were other people in the park. People who were also going for a run or cutting through. It was these people that suddenly began hearing screams. They were loud and alerted them to the fact that something was very wrong. Witnesses, a jogger, a cyclist, and someone walking a dog at the time, ran to the area where they heard the screams coming from. And as they arrived on a path between a rose garden and a playground, they were greeted by an extremely alarming sight. On the path was a woman who was slumped down and covered in blood. It was clear that she had been brutally attacked and that she was fatally injured. There was immediate concern about the public safety, and the police were called in straight away to assess the scene and figure out what had happened. Sadly, the woman died at the scene, and the attack had proved to be as fatal as it first appeared to witnesses. The Metropolitan Police were now dealing with a murder, and one that had taken place in broad daylight on a Monday morning. It certainly wasn't the usual type of crime that had occurred, and they were also faced with another initial problem. Officers could find no identification on the victim and couldn't figure out who she was straight away. It took around 24 hours to finally identify her as 27-year-old Margaret Muller. It was known that she'd travelled to the park that day to go for a jog and that she'd been attacked while there. When her body was examined, it was found that she had been stabbed multiple times in what police would later describe as a frenzied attack. Officers began to canvass the local area and speak to as many witnesses as possible who may have noticed something of interest. This attack had took place on a busy morning in a park which was frequented by lots of people, and it seemed unthinkable that someone would choose this kind of place to attack and murder someone. There was nothing in Margaret's life that seemed to point to a suspect or someone that may have been targeting her specifically. However, police remained open-minded about who may have committed this awful crime. Through witness interviews, officers discovered that two people had been spotted running away from the scene around the time of the murder, and this became the first line of inquiry. It was believed that they had ran through the rose garden and out of the park, which is when they started to walk instead of run. This was obviously a suspicious sighting and one that needed to be investigated. While the police investigation was continuing, Margaret's body was taken for a post-mortem. It was concluded that the cause of death was multiple stab wounds, and it was confirmed that there had been no sexual assault. This, of course, did not mean that this was not the motive. However, attempting to attack someone in a busy park meant that perhaps the perpetrator did not carry out what they had intended to. Following the attack, police told the press that they were very concerned by the frenzied nature of the murder and the fact that it happened in broad daylight. They stated that they believed that Margaret had been out for a regular run when someone had appeared and attacked her. They stated they didn't know if this person was known to her or a stranger at that time, and that they were keeping an open mind. The day after the murder, police also issued a description of someone that they wanted to speak to, who was seen in the area at the time. The man was white, between the ages of 18 to 20, and around 5 feet 6 to 5 feet 8 inches tall, with short brown hair and a London accent. This description was reportedly made with criminal profilers, and it was hoped that it would lead to some new information. The investigation was taken very seriously from the start, with warnings being issued to the public about jogging or walking alone, and 50 officers at the scene began searching it and the surrounding areas. They were looking for the murder weapon, which they knew to be a 4-inch knife that had inflicted the wounds on Margaret. They also started house-to-house inquiries and interviewed as many witnesses as possible who had been in the park to try and get a picture of what had happened and when. A month after the murder occurred, police also staged a large reconstruction of the events in the park, and around 100 witnesses that day were brought back in to stage the scene once again. It was hoped that this would lead to further information being discovered. The main stumbling block for officers was what exactly was the motive for this murder. Why had Margaret been chosen, and had she been stalked beforehand, or was it completely random? This made trying to narrow down suspects very difficult. While sexual assault was not present in this crime, they couldn't rule it out as a motive for the murder. And while Margaret didn't appear to have been robbed during the attack, they could also not say that this was the perpetrator's intention. There was lots still unknown about the murder. While officers continued to canvass and search the local area to try and narrow down suspects, Margaret's family in the US and her friends had come to the realisation that she was gone and that she had been murdered. Margaret was loved by many people and her loss was devastating, particularly she had so much going for her and her career was taking off. The sense of loss was huge for those that knew her. Her family mourned, and when the post-mortem had taken place, her body was sent back to Virginia to be with her family and to be buried at home. The community surrounding Victoria Park was in shock about what had happened to Margaret, and the worry was that this could happen again. A year after Margaret's murder, a service was held in her honour. Around 100 people attended it to celebrate Margaret's life and was held on the spot where she had died. Students from Slade Art School attended, as well as Margaret's cousin Leslie, who placed a yellow rose at the scene on behalf of Margaret's parents, Eileen and Eric. She also left a note with it, which read, "Dear Margaret, we commend you on your courage, integrity, dedication and artistic accomplishments. We are sorely grieved by your terrible death and that you were not permitted the full fruitions of your ideals. The consolation of your compassion, understanding and cheerfulness is an irreconcilable loss. Love, Mum and Dad." The service also drew attention as TV presenter Tommy Walsh, who featured prominently on the TV gardening show Ground Force, not only attended the service, but also planted a juniper tree in her memory. Tommy Walsh lived near Victoria Park and had been jogging with his wife Marie on the morning that Margaret was murdered. He recalled that day to the London Evening Standard, saying, "I ran through the rose garden and stopped and waited for my wife to catch up. She stopped in the garden to tie up her running shoes." He explained that when she stopped, some birds flew out of a nearby bush as though something had disturbed them. He continued, "She was startled and thought she could have caused it, but it could quite easily have been the killer. It's quite frightening that I could be sitting here today for the anniversary of my wife's death. Maybe because I was there, this is an indication that this person was waiting for a woman on her own." Tommy Walsh also made a statement about how he now feels about running through Victoria Park and living in the local area, and this seemed to echo what many locals were thinking. He stated, "We still jog in the park, but we're much more aware now than we were before. This is very worrying for the local people, particularly that the murder seems motiveless."
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Margaret's murder was unfortunately not the only random knife attack that occurred in the capital. And it was from these other attacks that possible suspects began to emerge, as well as through further police investigation. In December of 2003, Monica Watts was jogging through Clissold Park in North London when someone jumped out of the bushes and stabbed her with a large knife. The perpetrator ran away after the stabbing, and Monica's life was only saved as a woman with a seven-week-old baby strapped to her chest came to her aid and managed to stem the blood. This woman was a doctor on maternity leave, and it was lucky that she was there at the time. Police later discovered that the perpetrator was 15-year-old Elias Cecchetti. His name was not published at the time due to his age, but later was in the media. He had been in and out of juvenile courts from an early age and had openly told people that he had stabbed Monica. It would turn out that he had also attacked a 17-year-old friend with a knife, and when he was just 12, had attacked someone his own age. He had had a fascination with knives, so much so that his mother had called the police on him at age 11. In 2004, he was given a whole life term for his attack on Monica Watts. The series of events that unfolded after Margaret's murder were of interest to the police in her investigation, as they immediately saw similarities between the two cases. Margaret had also been jogging alone in a park when someone stabbed her and ran away. There was a problem with Elias Cecchetti as a suspect, however. He was in custody at the time of Margaret's murder and so couldn't have been responsible. Over the next 6 years, a total of 9 people would be arrested for Margaret's murder, including Christopher Olacun, who was convicted of murdering Bernard Hegarty and Bethnal Green in 2004. He stabbed Hegarty while he was on his way to buy furniture near his office. Christopher Duncan was also arrested in connection with Margaret's murder. He had been convicted of murdering law student Jagdeep Najran, with repeated blows to the head with a metal baseball bat. Despite these multiple arrests, nobody was ever charged with Margaret's murder, and none of the suspects could be confirmed as being involved. In 2011, the Metropolitan Police publicised a new £20,000 reward for information related to her case. Detective Chief Inspector Nicola Wall, who was heading the Metropolitan Police's investigation, said, "She was a talented young woman with a bright and exciting future ahead of her. That was all taken away when she was brutally struck down in Victoria Park 8 years ago. Officers have worked tirelessly on this case and have managed to sift through literally hundreds of pieces of information and leads. Despite the tremendous support from the local community, we know that some people still hold vital information about Margaret's murder. Together with information already gathered, they could help us achieve justice for Margaret and her family and friends." They appealed for information about that day and for witnesses to do the right thing. They asked anyone who was in Victoria Park that morning to come forward if they hadn't already, and for any suspicious activity that may have been noted near the Queen's Gate entrance to the park or on the nearby Gascoigne estate to be reported. This included anyone who saw someone running away. It was hoped that the reward would generate some new leads and finally get the family some answers. Since then, police have appealed several times to the public for their help in generating new leads, but do not seem to have made much progress in Margaret's case. During the time that has elapsed since the murder, there has been speculation as to not only who the perpetrator was, but also their motive. Police have confirmed that they believe that this was a random attack, and that Margaret herself wasn't the sole target. The reasons behind the attack, however, are less clear. Police have stated in the past that they are working under the theory that this may have been an attempt at a robbery that went wrong. There has been some discussion about whether Margaret was chosen as she was a lone female and only stood at 4 feet 11 inches tall. Was this someone acting alone, or was it multiple people? There were reported sightings of 2 people fleeing the scene, however a police description that was issued pointed to the fact that they believe that they may have just been looking for 1 person. It's strange to think that a murder happened in broad daylight without anyone getting a good look at the killer. While this was the case, I'm fairly confident that someone out there will know more than they're currently acknowledging, and that someone does know who did this to Margaret. It's just a case of coming forward to let police know. Margaret had so much going for her and a future that looked positive and happy. She didn't deserve what happened to her that day, and neither did her family. They want to see answers, and so do many other local people who were affected by her murder. If you know anything about Margaret's murder, contact the Metropolitan Police at 101 Or you can call Crime Stoppers at 0800 555 111 and give information anonymously. Thank you for listening to today's episode, and thank you to all of our amazing patrons for your support. If you'd like to support the show and get bonus episodes, ad-free early access, stickers and shoutouts, head over to the link in the show notes. There will be at least 12 bonus episodes this year, and patrons have voted on January's already. So if you're interested, head over and have a look. If you'd like to support us in another way, you can leave us a review wherever you listen, including now on Spotify, or head over to YouTube and subscribe. You can also just share the episodes with other people. If you have any case suggestions or comments, send me an email at theunseenpod@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. As always, I'm Caprice, and this has been Unseen.